This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the title of the message tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, and just keep them open in Luke 18. Lord Jesus, if you are with us, then we don't have to fear what man can do to us. Lord, we put our trust in you. Isaiah said that we have been created for your glory, that you want to show forth your praise and your glory through these vessels. And Lord, tonight I humbly come before you, and I ask that you keep us so hidden that you can be seen in everything that we do, in our worship, in our prayer, in the word. We want you to speak to us. God, I ask you tonight that you speak to my heart and to every person in this auditorium and those who would hear via CD or in other means. But I thank you tonight that if you be for us, who can be against us? Lord, it's not just a Bible quote, but make it a reality tonight in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Later on in the message tonight, I want to talk to you about a woman who, in the Old Testament, this woman who is cradling her son in her arms, and I can see her just rocking backwards and forwards with this child in her arms. I don't believe that the scriptures even show us that she knows what the problem is. She's not even sure that she even has an answer or the medication to help this child, but she is gently rocking him. The scriptures are clear how this young child sits upon her lap, and in the last moments of this child's life, I can see this mother just rocking this baby backwards and forwards. I've never been in a situation of that kind of a catastrophe or that kind of a loss or that kind of a sorrow. But the scriptures paint a very vivid picture of a woman who is just holding her son, who is in the throes of death, and she's just cradling this child, rocking this child, and then the child dies in her lap. And I can't even begin to imagine what kind of thoughts would be going through my heart and my mind. I see the videos of Burundi that we've had all day today, and in the last week or so, I see children who are bereaved of parents because of AIDS or because of genocide, and I can't even begin to tell you what it invokes inside of my heart. There's a compassion. There's something that moves me deep inside when I see children who have an inability to do something about their situation. This child dies, but we see a resolve in this woman. And I want to end the message tonight to show you that with God, all things are possible. That regardless of the pain and the sorrow, the intensity of the moment, there is a resolve in this woman. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus asks a specific question, and it's in verse 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's a question that Jesus is asking. It's not a rhetorical question. It's a statement. He says that when the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith on the earth? Will there be a people of faith? That's what he's asking. The preceding parable tells you that he begins this parable by saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so he's telling us that there's a correlation between seeking the face of God, spending time talking to the Lord, whether it's in the car, whether it's on the train, whether it's walking down the street, whether it's in your personal private time, whether it's a cry, whether it's a whisper, whether it's just something that is birthed or born in the heart. Jesus is making a correlation, and he's saying that if there is not a people who will be willing to seek the face of God, then there won't be a people of faith. He's making and tying up this correlation. He says in the end times, he's moving us. God is moving his people. If you read the scriptures from beginning to end, when the people coming out of Egypt and going through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, every lesson inside of the Old Testament is directing us and pushing us and leading us into this place where there will be a people who will believe God. When you get to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews very clearly tells us that they could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Now, we know that there was immorality. We know that there was idol worship because many of them brought the idols out of Egypt and didn't dispose of them in the wilderness. They kept them. We know that there were all kinds of sin that was taking place. There was grumbling. There was rebellion. These things were dealt with in the children of Israel. But in the final analysis, in the very final analysis of everything that is spoken of, the writer to the Hebrews says that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And beloved, it moves me, it stirs me that if God has created us to be a people of his glory, then he's going to move us to that place of faith where he can be seen through our lives in the most impossible circumstances. This is what this parable is about this woman who is so tenacious in going to the judge. And he's making this correlation. He says, you may not see the answer today. You may not see it tomorrow. You may not see it the next day, but you cannot stop the process that God is working in you. For every prayer that you pray, there are always two answers. I've always believed this. There's always two answers. When a person sets their heart to seek God, there's always two answers to that prayer. One, obviously the answer that God is going to give of the prayer that is being prayed. But there's another answer. God is changing the person who's praying. That's what he's about. This is the process. This is the work that he's talking about with this parable in Luke chapter 18. He's talking about a process. You may begin, but God is going to set about working in you a faith. He says, in the last days, we don't want to end our days in unbelief. Will he find faith on the face of the earth? And part of that process is that people need to come to grips and to terms with the fact that God wants to answer prayer. It may not be immediate, it may not be tomorrow, but there is a process that he is working. He's working a faith in the heart of those who are called and commissioned to pray. Now, beloved, he says that men, all men, should pray always and should not faint. So that means you and I. I'm always amazed at the amount of people that we have coming in for some level of counseling. And one of the very first things we ask them, what is your prayer life like? Well, you know, what do you mean prayer life? It's always amazing. If people would just, before you come for counseling, go to God in prayer. Because he changes you. There's a change that takes place. There's a faith that is built up with people who will spend time in the presence of Almighty God. It's a process. He's working this within the hearts of his people. Now, as God would work the end result of a people who will say, I'm going to spend time in the presence of the Lord, whether it's walking, whether it is you know, on the subway, like I mentioned, or your own personal private prayer time. He's moving us towards this area of faith. Well, if that is true, then you've got to understand that every work that the enemy does is he's going to work in the area of fear. Everything that Satan does is going to cause you to be moved into an area of incredible fear. Now look at this in Luke chapter 21. Just turn with me to a couple of pages here and you begin to see the work that is that the enemy does. And Jesus is very clear. He's telling us that the value of the last days is not going to be your stocks in gold or your options or hedge funds or 401ks. He says the quality and what you're going to need in the days to come is that you have a vibrant faith. Now look at this in verse 25. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun. This is Luke 21 verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. So Jesus is telling us what the days are ahead of us. What are they going to be looking like? What are we facing as a world? What are we facing as people of the 21st century? What are the very things that we look to in our particular generation? And Jesus says in these last days that there's going to be, the earth is going to be filled with distress, anxiety, no peace, no assurance for the future. Anxiety levels of people are going to skyrocket through the roof. He says there's going to be this increased anxiety in people's lives. People are so jittery today, and not without cause or without reason, but there's a jittery that is taking place. Years and years ago, if a pipe blew on Lexington Avenue, it wouldn't have stirred a whole lot of fear into people, but because of our present crisis in the world that we're facing, this explosion, the photographs are self-evident that there were ladies' high-heeled shoes and things littered all over the place as men and women scattered, fearing the very worst that another 9/11 had come. And this is what Jesus is speaking about. He says that there is going to be this increased level of anxiety in people's hearts and lives. And it's going to be out of control. It's going to skyrocket. It's going to go through the roof. And Jesus is telling us these things in the scriptures. He says one of the signs of the last days is going to be increased anxiety in people. It's just going to go, like I say, through the roof. And it says, not only distress, that's what distress really means here in the scriptures. It means anxiety, anxiety levels. But it says, with perplexity. And when you look that up, it simply means to have no way out. People are locked in with no exit plan. In a burning house, as it were, with no way of escape. Jesus is saying that in the last days, it's going to be so perplexing. It's going to be so mind-boggling that leaders are not going to know what the plan of escape is, how to pull out of a situation, how to move in different ways, because it is going to be so chaotic. And he's telling us that these are the things, the sea and the waves roaring, it's typology of that this, once this thing begins in this world, and beloved, today we take a look at this nation, we got global economy. Never before in the history of this world do we see such global economy where the greatest consumer is not only going to be the United States, but all over the world there's communications. Never before have we lived in a generation with such high level of communications of things taking place all over the world. And this isn't giving us more peace. This isn't bringing us into a greater sense of assurance because we can communicate with people around the world. It's doing exactly the opposite. It's creating an anxiety and a distress in the world that there's going to be no end to it. And Jesus said that this is going to increase and it's going to come with perplexity. No way out. A quandary. What do we do? How do we get out? It's going to be so complex. Situations, it's not going to be either a Democratic or a Republican answer to the problem. It's going to be an incredibly complex circumstances that we're going to see in these last days that is going to befuddle the minds of leaders. They are not going to understand which way to go, which way to turn. There's going to be no answer, in other words. And Jesus says, in the last days, there are not going to be enough answers for the problems that are being presented. And he says the greatest commodity, so when you understand this, then you understand that the greatest commodity in life is not going to be your options in gold. It's not going to be your stocks. It's not going to be your 401k. Jesus brings it down and he narrows this down to one commodity. And he says, will I find a people of faith? A people who will stand in the face of incredible adversity, face it and stand believing God no matter what. Can we find that kind of a person? And that's what Jesus is asking. He's moving us. Beloved, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to show us how God is moving the church, the true church of Jesus Christ. We are incredibly being moved by God into this arena where it's coming down to this, people who will believe him and people who will not. And this quandary is going to be going on. And he said, it goes on to say that men's hearts failing them for fear. See, this is the ultimate end of what the enemy wants to do. It wants to bring a world to its knees. And the way he's doing it is basing it on this incredible power that he utilizes, which is fear. Fear is such a paralyzing force. It just intimidates, it paralyzes. It brings, it immobilizes, weakens, it makes people helpless. And this is where the enemy is working. He's saying that men's hearts will be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. It's going to be so mind-boggling. It's going to be such a quandary that you are not going to be able to help but have anxiety rise up inside of your life in the days we are living, unless you know God. Unless God is for us, then who can be against us? Beloved, if this is what God is leading us to, then count me in. I want to be a prayer. I want to be somebody who's going to walk down the streets and instead of trying to get my eyes full of the signs round about, I'm going to be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to choose to be a person who will just communicate, speak to him nonstop. It's so strange. This whole week, I was telling my wife, I said, I can't begin to explain it. And maybe there's a whole lot of reasons it could be, but I found myself all this week just spending time just talking to God, just talking to him. It's not long prayers. It's not these and thous, as I shared last week. God isn't looking for a lot of these and thous, but simply people who will spend time just talking to God. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Just walk down the street. He's walking with you. Speak to him. He's with you on the subway. Just turn him and speak to him. Just tell him the situation. Speak to him because he's going to give you two answers. That which you're asking and that what he's doing inside of your life. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that we don't use weapons of mass destruction. But we use weapons of mass conversions. We've got weapons beyond what the enemy understands. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians. Let me read this to you from the Living Bible. It is true that I am an ordinary, weak human being. But I don't use human plans and methods to win my battles. I'm not going there. This is what the writer, the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church says of 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. He says, I'm not going to use human plans and methods to win my battles. I use God's mighty weapons. Not those made by men to knock down the devil's strongholds. Oh, beloved, you've got to understand that God gives you an incredible authority in his name to knock down every stronghold of the devil. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God. Are you living with someone who has an argument against God? You can break down that argument through God's mighty weapons. And every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ. Oh, beloved, there's a process involved. This widow woman, she started on her journey to this judge who didn't fear man or God. And on this journey, she knew that she was going to go back and back and back again. And Jesus is bringing us to this analogy. And he says that, and it's simple, just keep going to God. If you don't see the change today, it's coming tomorrow. If you don't see it tomorrow, it's going to be there on the third day. If you don't see it happening on the outside, it's happening on the inside. There's always this change that God is doing in the heart of the believer. Now, you've got to understand that there is a boldness to lay hold of the promises of God. When anxiety comes in, I started with the story about this woman with her child sitting on her lap, and I don't know what was going through her heart, but I can see her when I was reading the story, and I just immersed my heart in prayer and said, God, I saw her rocking this child. She was probably praying to God, who maybe she was introduced to by Elisha at some point or another. But she's rocking this child. I don't know of the level of anxiety that came up into her heart, but there was a resolve. There was a particular resolve that began to rise up within this woman. And tonight, there is a boldness to lay hold of the promises of God. When anxiety levels increase in the world round about you, God has equal promises in his hand for everybody who will just reach out and lay hold of them by faith. There are incredible promises for every level of anxiety. For everything that the enemy comes and brings against you, God has a promise, a direct promise in correlation against everything that the devil is bringing against you or what circumstances or the world is revealing. Now, in Luke chapter 18, verse 5, it says that this woman, go back to 18, verse 5, this woman came to this judge continually. And that's what the secret. He knew that eventually she's going to win. Because she's just coming back. There was a tenacity. I love what Hebrews chapter 13:6 says. This is what Hebrews 13:6 says. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You see, beloved, when you are in this time of, and this season of saying, God, I'm going to be a person who's going to seek your face. Some people, days without number, have not been seeking the face of God. But if you make a decision to say, I'm going to be one of these people, because there is a boldness of faith that begins to rise up. See, some people know the promises of God, but they don't have the boldness to take a hold of them. There's not a boldness or the faith to lay hold of these promises that in the face of increased anxiety and stress, that you can lay hold of a promise that is going to be more sure than the situation that you're facing. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, so that we may boldly say, that boldness is a confidence that doesn't come from theory. It's a confidence that comes because you know God and you know that there's a promise out there for you. And it's time to lay hold of it. I think of all that my wife has been going through. It's not life-threatening. It's just, she, as you've known, she had her thyroid removed, and it was a total thyroidectomy, but they don't take it all out because there's particular nerves that go to the voice box, and so they have to cut around the thyroid, around that particular nerve. And so because there was certain things in the thyroid that they deemed it needed to all come out, she's had to go in now for radiation. So to have this radiation, she has stepped away from all her medication. She can't be on medication. And emotionally, she's just at a very low level right now. And there's nothing I can say to her There's nothing I can communicate to pick her up. She's going through something that she in a sense is walking alone. Oh, I'm there. I try to encourage. I say to her, she's gaining a pound a day almost because she's off medication. She's discouraged and there's this. She's in this particular place. But I can tell you one thing, beloved, that when there's no words humanly possible that I can say to lift her up. I've known her since 12. We've known each other for years. It seems like for centuries. We just know each other so incredibly well. But in these moments, we can take for granted this knowing one another. And there's not words sufficient that I can give to her to lift her up. But I've seen a woman. I've seen her on her knees. And it chokes me up because I've seen the tears that just roll down her face as she spends time in the presence of God. But it's in the presence of God, beloved. It's in that moment that she is alone, and I watch her. I kneel at times with her to pray. But I see the tears that roll down her face, and then I begin to see this hope and this faith in her heart begin to rise. And it's something that only God, by the Holy Spirit, can do and invoke within a human soul. And I step back and I say, God, you're truly being glorified in this individual because it's something only the Holy Spirit can work. There's anxiety. There's a level of you know, concern in her heart. You can't alleviate it. You can't change it. But God can. And God can secure and He can put His hand upon. He can hold. He can nurture. He speaks tenderly. He speaks the things into the spirit that no human being can speak. And this is what God is speaking. This is what Jesus is talking about. It's not just a cut and dried, you know, sermon at the end of this, come down and get more faith. Jesus isn't saying that. He's saying that it's possible. He says God wants to speedily come to your aid. That's what the scriptures tell us, that God wants to speedily come to your aid and minister to you and speak those things that only He can speak into your heart and to your life. But it's this coming to Him. He wants you to step into that place and let Him speak into your heart. Let me close with this Shunammite woman tonight. I'm not going to go to the scriptures. I'll tell you where it is. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, and you can read it from verse 1 all the way through verse 37. But this woman is the woman I spoke to you about who holds this child in her hand or on her lap, and the child dies. She picks up this child, and she goes and she lays it down on the bed of the prophet. But I see something that began to stir my heart. And maybe this is not exactly a sermon tonight, but more an exhortation to my own heart, what we are traveling through as a family right now. And maybe that's simply what it is, and I get the privilege of sharing it with you, giving you a window of opportunity to see what is happening in our lives. But when I was reading the scripture, I clearly saw a couple of things. She was determined not to be deterred. Let me just share some of the scriptures with you. She had made a decision that nothing was going to deter her from the presence of God, of seeking God through this prophet. She laid the child down and she arose. And her husband said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to go to the prophet. Well, it's not a Sabbath or a new moon. It's not a festival. Why do you need to go? She wouldn't be deterred. She wouldn't allow anybody to deter her, even the person who was going to ride with her as she saddled this donkey. She wasn't going to be deterred. Beloved, don't let people or circumstances or situations deter you from just spending that time in seeking the face of God. We live in a world of 1,000 things that will deter us. It's they pop up in the moment. The moment you set your heart to say, God, I'm going to spend time in your presence, you can believe that the enemy is going to open up a window of 1,000 distractions. He will distract you from telephone calls. He'll distract you from neighbors knocking on your door. He'll distract you in 1,000 different ways. But this woman was not deterred. And you've got to see that the child is dead. There is no life, but it still doesn't deter her, because she knows that with God, if God be for us, who can be against us? She's got a secret in her heart. She knows that no matter what the situation is declaring, that there is a God in heaven, that there is somebody that I can go to. And she makes this determination that she will not be deterred from finding her place in the presence of this prophet who knows God. And verse 27 says, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. She wasn't going to let go. The second thing that I was reading in verse 30, it says, the mother of the child, when Gehazi is sent, then Elisha says, you know, I've sent an answer. And she says, I'm not leaving you until you come. I'm not leaving you. There is a sense in her that she is not going to leave the presence of God unless there is deliverance. It's just something that only the Holy Spirit can work into your heart. But here is this woman. She's not going to be deterred, and she is not going to when she got to the man of God, she made a decision. Lord, I am not going to be leaving this place. And I can see her heart. I'm not leaving until I hear from God. In the face of incredible pain and sorrow. But she had a secret, beloved. She had something inside of her. And I think that this is the message that I'm trying to get across to you tonight. Maybe not adequately, but God will draw you into His presence because He wants to produce in you a level of trust and a level of faith inside of you that you can stand in the face of incredible adversity and face it and say, God, I'm going to give you glory in this. But don't leave too soon. Don't get into His presence and then just leave. And this is what it spoke to me of. Some people just get there and once they've gone through their grocery list, they leave. Don't just give God a grocery list. Spend time. Speak to Him about your heart. There's a boldness to lay hold of the promises of God. And then thirdly, when they got to the house, there's a process, beloved, that God is working. When they got to the house, this prophet goes up. He lies on the child. Warmth comes into the body. He does that a couple of times. And we see that this boy sneezes 7 times and he gets up. Life comes into that situation of death. God is going to produce life where you think there is death. When you see that there is no answer, hold on. When you think that there is no answer, God is going to breathe life into it. It doesn't happen overnight, beloved. And this is what, there is a process that is taking place in this life. And we see in verse 37, then she went in and fell at his feet. Before she takes the child, she just bows herself to the ground and she begins to just say, God, thank you. There's a worship in her heart. And beloved, thank God tonight that we can come into His presence. If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the anxiety is. And don't be anxious about that phone either. Just let it go. Let it go. 1,000 distractions. 1,000 distractions will come. Let it go. God is speaking to you tonight. And He's bringing you to a place of just saying, God, I thank you that I will not be deterred. I'm going to come to you. And I know that when my wife and I have prayed, I know it's not life-threatening. And I know that at the end of this process, that there is going to be a woman of faith. She's going to stand her territory and she's going to say, God will be God in the situation. Amen? Let's give God thanks. Tonight, the simple altar call is, we've got lots of time, it's really early. Give me your full attention. Tonight, God wants to bring you to a place of continued faith in Him. And I believe that tonight, that He is going to do that. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what anxiety levels you're facing. But I know one thing for sure, that God is going to give you a Holy Ghost boldness. A boldness that Hebrews says to reach in and lay hold. That we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Some people can say it, but not boldly. Tonight, we need to be able to stand and say, God, you are going to come through for me. Will we stand together? Now, Father, Lord, we thank you tonight that you have very simply spoken. You've given us an idea of what is going to happen in our time and our generation. We know that the enemy moves people to fear, but you want to bring us to faith. It's the eternal purpose of God to bring us to a faith in Jesus Christ as our complete and total answer. Now, Lord, you know everybody in the house. If there's just one individual who needs to boldly reach in and take hold of the promises of God, then, Father, for this person, meet them at this altar. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, and you want to stand before Him at this altar and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with a fresh boldness to lay hold of the promises of God, just get out of your seats, just unashamedly tonight. Just step out of your seats. We'll wait for you. Just step out. We've got all the time in the world, beloved. We're going to come to this altar. You need to be able to leave the house tonight and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Not someone else's, but the Lord is my helper. And there's an incredible difference. Just make your way to this front. We're going to sing a couple of songs. Just step out. Don't even look at your neighbor. You may have come to an altar 1,000 times, but God has spoken to you. You come tonight. God is going to meet you, I believe, in a very powerful way. Let's sing a couple of songs. Let me give you a promise tonight. While I was just praying and saying, God, speak. And He says, I gave you something to give to the people. And let me give it to you from the book of Haggai. Chapter 2, listen to this incredible promise. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 5, it says, according to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. So God told the people through his prophet Haggai that he made a covenanted promise that his spirit would not be taken from his people. It will remain among you. That my spirit will remain among you. And then he ends up that particular verse with these words. Therefore, fear ye not. Don't fear. Don't be given to fear. Because the covenanted God who has given us an incredible covenant through Jesus Christ, has promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you, and that the Holy Spirit will be with you God has covenanted to have His Spirit remain with you. Isn't that an incredible promise, beloved? And because of that assurance, that confidence, you can say, then, I will not fear what man can do to me. I can boldly take a hold that God is going to walk with me. Now, some of you have stumbled. Some of you have fallen. Some of you have just really backslidden. And you know that you haven't been walking right with God. And you're thinking, well, that's for everybody who's perfect. No, God says, I've covenanted with my people and I won't leave them. That means you as well. And the very fact that you are here tonight, the very fact that you're at this altar tonight tells me that the Holy Spirit is drawing you and has been working in your heart and life. What an incredible God we serve. You're here because God brought you here. If He brought you here, then that means He's going to go with you wherever you go. Does that make sense, beloved? Oh, He loves you so much. He just longs for your presence. Will you give Him your presence tonight? Will you give Him your presence? He's given you His presence. Will you give Him your presence? And just raise your hands then with me tonight. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You that when anxiety levels increase in this world, I can get more calm because You never leave me. Move me to greater trust and faith in You. In the small things, in the process of everyday life, lead me to trust You in everything. I want to be a person of faith in these last days. Thank You for working in me. I give You my life. Lord, walk with me. In Jesus' name. Now, beloved, just with your hands raised, ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you afresh. Just say, Holy Spirit, just come and fill me afresh right now. Holy Spirit, just come and give me boldness. Holy Spirit, come and give me grace. Come and give me strength. The Holy Spirit wants to do this for you. This is one of the prayers that God wants to answer so quickly, beloved, is that we might be filled with His Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis, the knowledge of knowing that His Spirit resides within us in power and strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, mighty God. Lord, I believe that You've done it for every person. I believe that You've done it for every honest heart here tonight. And we give You thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, you give Him thanks without clapping. Just give Him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Just worship the King tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Now, God, I ask You to be our strength. Whatever might be in our tomorrow, whatever may be in our tomorrow, You're already there, and You already know the path. We might be, Lord, it might be obscured to us, but not to You, and You'll walk with us. I give that to you as a sure word from the Holy Spirit tonight. He's walking with you. And He'll be there tomorrow. He'll be there for you tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Give Him thanks tonight.
This is the conclusion of the message.